to Piercing the Veil on bbsradio.com with your hosts Jordan and Corey and new guests appearing weekly. During the show, Jordan and Corey will pierce the many veils of illusion to reveal the universal truths and tools for negotiation inherent to success in one's daily life, including but not limited to 1. Multidimensional wordsmithing. 2. Mastering and commanding negotiations. 3. Constructive trust and wealth preservation. And 4. Spirituality. Pierce the veil, and the truth will reveal itself.
All right. Greetings, friends. Welcome back to another episode of Piercing the Veil, live today, November 13th, 2016. Last week, what we did was just another rerun. We were both, Corey and I, myself, were busy. And the week before that, we had Confucius, which is his stage name. That's Mike Kerbin, who correctly predicted the outcome of the presidential election, as did myself. Maintained for the past year that Donald Trump would win and was supported by positive elements of the U.S. military and intelligence agencies. So that's looking more and more likely, as is the case, especially boosted by Hillary Clinton's long list of crimes and her subsequent supposed clearing of those crimes, which I don't think has happened for the Clinton Foundation yet. So that's kind of boosted a lot of people, a lot of working class individuals in the FBI and other agencies to sort of support the release of information at a faster pace. So, Corey, what do you make of all this stuff? I'm super happy myself. I've actually applied for a position in the Trump administration, knowing what I do about the difference between the Republic and the actual U.S. corporation. I truly believe some sort of reconciliation or reassimilation is possible with smart people who are in the know, working from the inside. And so that's my intent. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you on that, man. I had a sense of relief, actually, that the George Herbert Walker Bush, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, Obama regime got squeezed off. Basically,
yeah, it was a fantastic
feeling. It was kind of like, and it's funny because I have a lot of friends. They're very liberal, Democrats and so on and so forth. And like, people were so forlorn, And on the one hand, I'm like, I still can't really wrap my head around how people get so bent out of shape over this selection process, knowing what I know. But in this particular case, I think it does matter. I think it really does matter. Along the lines of what you said, and really, really, what I saw is that people are getting it. People are fed up, and that shows me that people are paying attention. They're informing themselves. My thing was like, the proxy war in the Middle East, the destabilization and the chaos created in the Middle East, and the proxy war with Russia. Saber rattling with Russia and so forth, and I was like, okay, at least we'll be able to take a step back off of that, take a breath along those lines, and I was relieved in a weird way, and I'm sure I know a lot of people who would just lose it if they heard me. If I were to convey that to them, I basically had a rule in the last few weeks that I'm not having any political conversations.
Well, I've actually done quite the opposite. The moment he won, I just lit Facebook up with all these Hillary Clinton scandals and Trump videos. And, now they're coming out and saying, oh, my God, this is like the new 9/11. 11-9 is the new 9-11. It's like you are totally disrespecting every fucking person that was victimized and killed in that inside government psyop. You're totally victimizing all those people who fucking jumped out of the windows. Some of these kids that are out there protesting aren't even fucking old enough to remember that shit.
Yeah.
These little young fucking... And they're waving fucking communist flags with fucking baklavas over their fucking face, punching people, beating them, fucking setting cars on fire. And all of these things, it's just so ridiculous. And the media has totally lost its credibility. It's fucking done. Media's done. Right. They're actually having to admit and apologize to the public right now that they were, quote, out of touch with the public opinion, obviously.
Yeah,
and also, you know, you've got people referring to the Republic now as opposed to democracy on live television. And you also have liberal sycophants. Sycophant, you can look up that term if you don't know what it means. It's basically somebody who sucks at the teat of power in return for favors, no matter what the cost is to the greater population as a whole. And that accurately describes most of Congress, including every single fucking person in the mainstream media. So, to a certain degree, you know, more so than others. And so that's what we got going on.
Yeah, finding myself paying more attention to the details now than previous because, you know, I can't help but think, in a way, you know, presidents come and go, right? The machine keeps going. Presidents come and go. You know, he's up against some heavy forces, and I'll be very interested in seeing how he navigates this.
Well, it's got to be with a cloak or a veil of clemency or bipartisanship until the moment he's inaugurated. When he makes that leap there, theoretically, he could repeal every single executive order all the way back to Abraham Lincoln.
He could.
All the military Lieberman codes, all of this U.S. military corporation, the corporate president has the power to dissolve it. He can dissolve the corporation back into the Republic, which is what all these patriots and these guys and these left-wing or these right-wing, whatever you want to call them, nut job guys that are, you know, just disillusioned and misguided and have usually the good intentions. But, you know, I've spent a decade bringing these guys back from the edge into some sort of workable contract negotiations type of mind frame and mindset when dealing with government bureaucracy. And it's a tough road, but the intention is good for these people. However, you know, if he does something like that, that's it. Like, all you have to do is, like, a couple different things. Declare the national debt a fraud. Excuse me, the federal debt, because we don't have a national debt that's been satisfied. Declare the federal debt a fraud. Repeal and abolish the Federal Reserve. Institute a gold-backed currency. If a South African supposed dictator, Muammar Gaddafi can do that based on oil, and so too can we based on some sort of other commodity. We can make a gold back or some sort of currency. And at that point, you've taken care of the major issues.
Right, which is why the U.S. military and some of the European militaries were used to take him out.
That's right, because it was under the Clinton regime. It was Hillary Clinton's direction and planning in the Secretary of State Department that led to his overthrow, and then also the Benghazi debacles as well.
Right, exactly. So the interesting thing, Christopher Stevens,
he was raped and beaten and tortured and raped again and prodded with a cattle prod to death, and then hung naked outside in the streets.
Right, and she cackled. You know, we came, we saw, he died.
That's right. What difference does it make?
She's, they're done. The Clintons are fucking done. Their foundation is done.
They're toast. Here's the thing.
It's done because
everybody to play stuff.
Yeah, everybody thought that she was a shoo-in, right? She's sending out all the Saudis, all that hook sending the Saudis money and playing in Qatar and, you know. Man, that shit is done. So
I'll say this. There's a lot of smart people that have liberal ideologies, and I really don't go for these terms or labels unless I have to use it as a workable descriptor, and in this case I will. But here's the thing. Liberalism, as it stands today, is a fucking mental disease. It's a mental disorder. It is a non-functioning, non-logical, non-reasoning. It's a logic error in the natural biological systems. Am I saying a lesbian, LGBTQ, all that stuff is wrong? No. Whatever you feel vibrationally in your body that's biochemically adapted to you, if you're gay or whatever, fine, do your thing. But don't use it as a fucking crutch. You know what I mean? And so some of these people who have legitimate reasons to be in a liberal mind state or be associated with some of these things are getting scooped up into the fray or scooped up into this rolling movement funded by billionaires like George Soros and all these other people, where there's this regressive element embedded into liberalism, meaning there's a regression against self while there's 58 different fucking types of genders. There's also like 1,000 things that you can't say, or somebody's going to have to run off to their goddamn safe space with their fucking therapy puppies and some fucking Play-Doh and crayons. The colleges were actually giving out fucking crayons and Play-Doh to students and letting them skip their midterms. And they could sit there in a safe space while they cried about the election. You just got to be fucking kidding me. Your fucking ancestors, people of the world, whether you want to talk about alien intervention or not, your fucking ancestors fought off gigantic goddamn mammals with huge fucking claws and teeth with sticks.
Right.
Act like it. For Christ's sake. So.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's another thing. Yeah, it's this is fucking ridiculous.
The thing that bugs me out is, you know, there's realistically, there is a lot that needs adjustment in the world and in this country. There's no question about it. There's a lot of injustice. There's a lot of iniquity, and so on and so forth. And we I get that. But like the people who are protesting and the people who, you know, knee jerk members of the extreme right and the extreme left. What are you creating? What are you creating? You're focusing on what you don't want. You expect somebody else, a government, mind you, to basically fix what you don't like. And yet, you're benefiting from the system. And yet, you want to tear down the system.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. There's this hypocrisy. I'll say this. This is my final thought on this before we get to the topic of our show. We've done a little bit on politics here as sort of an intro on current affairs, actually. But I'll say this. the hypocrisy is fucking ridiculous. For these liberal ideologies, some of them are, I'm anti-establishment. And I'm anti-media, and I'm anti-this. But I'm totally fucking upset that the media results that they tried to fucking engineer and all these things that the establishment tried to do didn't work. Oh, I'm so upset. Well, that might be the case for a few people that are weak individuals and weak-minded. Right. But the majority case is that George Soros is actively funding and searching and crowd-searching on Craigslist for people to fill protester roles. And if you actually look at where the main protests are happening, they're in the tiny, tiny, tiny pockets of blue on the red map across the United fucking States that shows where these inner city strongholds are, where they actually have to pay their voters to go out. And the people unconsciously know, oh, I've been doing this for 25 years. I'm a, you know, inner city voter that, you know, whatever you are, white, black, Hispanic, doesn't fucking matter. If you live in those pockets or areas, you're influenced by Democratic ideology. So I've been doing this for, you know, 25 years, and I know deep down something's wrong, but I'm getting paid, so I'm going to do it. That's sort of the mentality that's happening. So I'll wrap this up in a nice, neat little fucking bow. For all these people that are bullshit, salty, and butthurt upset about an anti-establishment, anti-media, anti-fucking Illuminati, anti-cabal, anti-everything motherfucker getting into office, who, by the way, supports LGBTQ and all these different diversities and who supports all the things that should be right and good and in this country. You know what I mean? There's countries all over the world. We're getting so butthurt about some illegal immigration. Well, I'll tell you this. It's a rough thing, and there's different exceptions. But the main thing is this. Other countries around the world have stricter immigration laws than we do. Right, Sweden, you have to, in Russia, you have to know and learn their language, their national language, and all sorts of other things. You have to qualify, you have to have good behavior, you can't get even a fucking traffic ticket. There's things that are seriously wrong with our system over here that need to be handled. And it just is what it is. You can't, somebody fucking steals a cookie out of the cookie jar, you know, you can't get mad because that person stole a cookie and now they're being held accountable. Yeah. It just doesn't work like that. So I'll wrap that up and just say the hypocrisy is ridiculous. Our topic today, however, Corey, is consuming energy, the methods of eating that people use to fuel their body and their mental and their spiritual processes. And the topic or the title for our show basically is Energy for Lunch. How do you convert your energy? And so in the remaining time we have, what I hope to discuss is basically various methods of consuming or extracting energy for bodily and mental processes. And then what we'll talk about is a scale that's been put up on the internet by a few vegans and other people in the know. It's a scale of eating, and it shows your vibrational rates or vibrational energies. And from a denser to a higher vibration diet, it shows you clearly what you need to be doing. Corey, have you seen anything like this? It's been pretty widespread recently.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely familiar with, you know, I was vegetarian for a long time. And, you know, my basic understanding is that, you know, meat is like consuming animal products is like one step removed from photosynthesis, really. You know, when you're consuming vegetation, you're closer to consuming solar radiation for your energy, for example.
That's right. And I think we actually touched on this in a previous episode. We were talking about sun gazing, breatharianism, and stuff like that, which is people who absorb minerals through the air and water even through the air. We'll get to that, but yeah, so that's what I'm talking about is a scale of eating from dense to light, if you will. And so I would suggest that, you know, processed foods and all sorts of sugary, salty snacks would be on the low end. Then you'd go through to a next level of meat and dairy eaters, then to the next level of vegetarian who sometimes partake in dairy and eggs and such like that. And then on to vegans who are strictly no animal products of any kind. And then on to raw foods from veganism to not even cooking your food, just eating it raw. And then on from there to fruitarian, which is, you know, look at gorillas, man. They eat nothing but fruit. Look how strong and fucking huge those guys are. They could rip you in half and not think twice. So fruitarian, right? And then you have this like selective fruitarian, which is basically they only eat one type of fruit.
Right.
And then onwards to breatharianism, which is basically the person doesn't eat. They live off the sun directly in by absorbing nitrogen and other vital minerals and micronutrients through the air into their skin and then into the bloodstream through the dense matter.
I'd say there's an interim category there, which would be just water.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. And there's also, we're going to talk about some other techniques you can use in between levels that will help you reset, if you will. So let's just get right into it. First of all, there's a lot of things that affect your consumption or your ability to absorb. There's an intruder energies that are happening all over the place, which could be emotional, relationship wise, but on a more physical scale, I'm talking about Wi-Fi and transformer power line wires. All that stuff is radiating, just pushing large amounts of negatively grimy, slimy, nasty energy waves that have a profound effect on the body. So there's different ways to shield yourself. Organite is a good way. We talked about that in a past show. All different types of ways, meditation, filtered water and things like that. But in order to really rapidly absorb whatever you're eating in your diet, you need to be protecting yourself, or at least aware and intent on protecting yourself from these types of things. So Wi-Fi has been shown to be really, really bad on the body. And if you can, it's sort of like a magnet. So if you can have some sort of an antenna that harvests Wi-Fi signals, there's a 13-year-old that's invented something out of like a fucking a frying spatula, a metal frying spatula, and a stainless steel pot and some other radio transistor parts from Radio Shack. He made a Wi-Fi sniffer, and what it does is it pulls a excess Wi-Fi signal out of the air that would normally be going through your body, and he doesn't know this application. He just knows how to get useful energy. But it pulls it out of the air, and it puts it into some sort of battery or storage device, into usable electricity that you can use to power a device. Well, I'm maintaining that if all that saturation of Wi-Fi energy is being drawn by an antenna and magnetized, if you will, to that location, well, then you're actually not only getting usable power, but you're also saving yourself from being saturated in Wi-Fi and the excess Wi-Fi that's not like streaming to your computer in a direct line. Sure. So sure. Things like that to think about, guys. It seems like it might be some random item in your life that you don't typically put much thought into, but these are important insidious things that sit in the background and prevent your development.
Yeah. Okay. And then in densely populated areas, urban areas, it's even that much more compounded.
It's Wi-Fi on top of Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Another thing too, and I don't have a reference for this, and I'm not 100% certain about this, but even the frequency of AC power, 110 AC, my understanding is that it's 60 hertz. So
yes,
the wiring in your house. And I think the body has a frequency of something slightly less than that, right? Like 59 something or 58 something. And so my understanding is that, you know, not only the Wi-Fi, long before the Wi-Fi, but the frequency of the 110 AC power in our houses and in our appliances has a pulling effect, or can have a pulling effect, on our own energy frequency. It tends to pull us from where we're at, slightly below 60, towards 60.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. It has a pulling effect, but it also... the reason for that is because it's trying to come into harmony and resonance.
Right.
So
right.
What's happening is you're actually being out of sync and pulled out of your natural biorhythm, which has a terrible effect on your body. So
right.
By either matching, like putting out a signal that you can, like through a chip that you can build, you can look all this up on YouTube, you can build like a little chip and plug it into the wall, and it cures your electrical poisoning. What I mean by that is the signal that's normally saturating your house through your walls and your circuits that you're talking about will actually be negated or drawn by or canceled out by this thing, as opposed to your body. It's just a replacement.
Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, look, not to digress too much, but there's no fucking excuse anymore, man. I mean, any information just about that one might require is available. Okay?
That's
so
true.
There's no more
excuse. No excuse for ignorance.
Yeah, there's no more excuses for ignorance. There's no more excuses for not taking responsibility for self.
You're absolutely right. So my point is basically, when getting on this topic, is there are some things that you can cancel out and negate in your life that have an effect on your body. And by doing that and watching your diet as well and trying to progress to the next stage naturally, you're going to have a positive and beneficial effect on your life and your lifespan. So real quick, let's go back to the scale. So we'll just go through a couple noticeable changes that I have noticed. I've actually gone from the processed foods to the meat and dairy to a vegetarian to vegan. Vegan-ish. You know, I tried eggs one day, you know. I'm trying, I'm there ethically and morally. I'm just trying to get as much protein sources from other locations as I can. So just on my opinion, Corey, I'll just go through the changes that I noticed that other people might notice. Processed foods is like an instant gratification. Yeah. I get that feeling of the craving that I wanted because I was hungry. Meat and dairy, I feel heavy, grounded, in the body, not really spiritually philosophizing or anything in my spare time, things like that. You know, none of those thoughts going through my brain. It's more work-oriented. What do I have to do? What are my tasks during the day? Physical labor, that type of stuff. Moving on to vegetarianism, started to get more of an affinity for Mother Earth and the plants and an appreciation for nature's biochemical processes, and started looking inwards and looking at my body as well. And then from there, going to the vegan, mostly I cheat every once in a while, mostly vegan lifestyle. That right there is just fantastic. I noticed a lot of cravings for meat and sugar when I was in the vegetarian stage. This was sort of like the halfway point, I could tell, because on the lower end of vegetarianism, I got the sugar and meat cravings. And then on the higher end of vegetarianism, I got the fatigue and the hormonal imbalance and the adjustments that my body was getting used to not having the protein source. And then on into veganism, and I really haven't been supplementing protein, and I'm not, you know, crazy super active like I could be, but I don't feel body fatigue. I don't feel that bad. I could be using a little bit more protein, but I think at this point, I've been doing this vegan thing for 10 months now. I think at this point, I'm starting to cross over through fruitarianism. Through passing that stage, I can feel the effects of me being able to pull in minerals through my skin, my magnesium and my nitrogen and all these things. I can feel that it's just happening in my body. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Corey, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I would say I've had similar experiences. The protein thing is kind of tricky. But the thing is that we make proteins from amino acids and, you know, from other stuff. So I think the body adjusts, you know, if you have a good vegan diet, and which takes work, man. I know a lot of vegetarians who they just didn't eat meat. And they're some of the most unhealthy people I've ever met. Right? So it's not like being a vegetarian or a vegan is not about not eating animal products. You know, it takes a lot more attention and listening to your body and knowing about the nutrient contents in the food that you're in. You know, I mean, I know vegetarians who were mostly just lived off of bread.
See, no, you're right. And so there's bad eating habits that could be practiced by people that are in one of these stages. There's also what you're talking about really is spiritual resonance back to resonance or harmonics, where the inward journey into connecting to your body has to accompany the outward physical journey of changing your diet. And if you don't have both of those things rocking for you, you're going to have some dissonance or some resistance, and it's going to be really, really bad for your body. And you're going to notice it. It's going to be a struggle for you.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, we get calories from food and we get certain nutrients from food, right? So we get just fuel to burn, and then we get certain nutrients that the body needs to be able to, you know, do its processes and create tissues and, and, you know, repair and all the body processes.
Well, so it's funny you say fuel to burn, Corey. I just want to stop you real quick. It's because the cells actually burn water. They burn their molecular water. They burn hydrogen. They burn ATP and all these other things. They actually bioluminesce. So the cells themselves have photon energy striking them from the sun and from other places, and they actually absorb it.
Right, and that's what I was leading to. You said it. You said photon energy. you know, ultimately, the sun, basically, is the engine for all life. Photosynthesis is the basis of all plants, and subsequently, the basis of all animal life, right? Because most of the animals that we eat are vegetarian, or they should be.
I had a huge insight here. This is one of my instant recall moments. Okay, so I've always maintained a theory, and I've actually been proven right recently in some physics studies. That happens to me a lot. I love being vindicated. I'm just energetically in alignment. Okay, back to it. So I've had a theory that light is composed of two major components, a non-physical component and a physical component, in the same way that by using a generator, you're disturbing the local vacuum and getting an influx of energy into the generator, which goes out as usable power, which produces electricity. So you have the electricity and whatever is on the other side, the ether. In the same way, I think that the photons are the physical component of light, which feel in heat, right, and brightness, and, you know, all and warmth and all that, and heating things up. Now, the tachyons, I believe, are a spiritual or essence or a ether component, and the tachyons penetrate just like neutrinos. They penetrate everything, all matter, all the time, instantly, in all directions. It's like a scalar field. And so the reason that people can live by photosynthesis and live on breatharianism and live on sunlight is because only they have developed their spiritual side to such a degree in resonance with their physical body that the light is able to be processed by the body on both fronts, meaning the outside of the body can process the photons and the inside cells that have no exposure to real physical light, they can process the tachyons and therefore do their processes, do their work, make their fuel for the body and change the hormones, so on and so forth. Fuel the engines that drive more physical matter into the skin through the air, which is basically nitrogen and other components it needs to do the hydrogen stuff that's based and instigated or catalyzed by the photon or the tachyon energy. So what I'm saying is photons hit you outside, tachyons hit you inside, your cells inside, which don't get outside sunlight, are actually living off the sunlight energy because your spiritual harmony or resonance with your body is up to date with the physical changes that you're making in your diet. And just wrap that up in a nice, neat little bow. But that's essentially what I'm theorizing. And I've been proven right as far as the light element of that story. So,
yeah, I mean, that sounds right to me, man. You know, it sounds right to me. And even to step back a little bit from that, let's look at hemoglobin and chlorophyll.
Ostensibly, I knew you were going to bring this up.
Yeah, yes. Hemoglobin, which is the basis for blood, for animal blood, and chlorophyll is basically plant blood, and they are virtually identical molecules, except I believe that the plant molecule, the base element of it is either phosphorus or magnesium, I don't remember which. And the base element for hemoglobin is iron. But as far as the other OH combinations and the structures are remarkably similar.
You're spot on. Yeah, you're spot on, Corey. I just wanted to break in before I forgot this. What you brought up just helped me recall. There's actually a GIF or a GIF or whatever you want to say it. There's a moving photo animation sequence online of an endorphin molecule. I think you've seen this, and it's walking along the nerve filament. And what you're getting into is the fractal nature of the universe. The plant's blood looks like the human's blood because we're all fractally part of the same thing in different stages, if you will. So what's surprising about the structures, and we've talked about this, is they look like little people. Most of your fucking amino acids, your proteins, your cysteines, your little filaments, and they look like little bacteria. But they're shaped like fucking people, dude. They've got a head, they've got legs, and they got arms. And I shit you not, you can look at this under a microscope, and when you have the feeling of happiness rushing into your brain, it's because there's this little dude, this little filament, mitocosine, protein, whatever, he's like pulling this huge ball along a nerve. He's like walking a tightrope, and he's just walking his legs all happy. He's like one after the other. Left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot. It's like the microcosm of physical work. Right? So it's just amazing. It's just fucking amazing, man.
And, you know, ultimately, you know, back to what you're saying about the tachyons, you know, ultimately, this is a spiritual game, man. It's about the mind, and it's about spirit. And, If we work towards that, then everything else will fall into place. And the thing about this dietary scale, or where we get our energy consumption from, is that you typically have to, in order to free yourself up on your higher frequency levels, you got to address the sluggishness, the toxicity, and what have you, in the denser levels, right? So really, yes. it's really like what's required to move from, let's say, the third dimension into the fourth dimension, for lack of a better terminology, you know, to move out of our physical preoccupation into more of our mental, spiritual component, we have to deal with the denser stuff first, in a way.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's just efficiency right there. Because, so here's the thing, if you're going to be trying to work on a higher dimension and then you got to come back down to work on the lower dimension, then you can go back to the higher dimension. It's like taking the wrong turn on the highway. It's not efficient. It's not the best way to get from A to B. So to get from A to B, pack your shit, make sure you got your cell phone, check, make sure you got your wallet. And these are taking care of all these heavy dimensional things. And then you can go on your spiritual journey. So we let's get back here. We digress a lot, but that's the beauty of this show. We cover a lot of stuff in a little amount of time. I'll say this, Corey. So we've gone through a little bit of the changes in the scale, but people may need a reset from time to time, whether during each stage of eating, you know, from processed foods to meat and dairy to vegetarianism to veganism to fruitarian, all so on and so forth. At each one of those points or in between, people may need to do some sort of reset to help realign or clear or clean out or purge any type of imbalances that may have been created by irregularities or environment. And dry fasting is an excellent way to do that. It's a very contentious thing. People say you can't go more than 3 days without water. That's not true. A lot of people have done it responsibly. I would say this. I'd caution you to not dry fast unless you have somebody who's an experienced teacher or somebody who's done it themselves that can stay with you. Like, literally stay in your fucking house and make sure you do not die. But if you do this correctly, your water or cellular molecular memory water, which operates differently, it's electrically charged and it's structured water, basically. The membrane water in your cells, which your body is 99.9% comprised of, will start to release. And it will start to reproduce its own water stores through automatically engaging breatharianism functions in the body. What I mean by that is, at a certain point in your dry fast, you're going to start absorbing the moisture in the air along with different minerals. And it resets everything in your body. It clears out parasites and toxins that are stuck in your bones and your blood and your membranes and places that they normally will never dislodge from, ever, no matter how much you change your diet. These dry fasting things will totally clear this stuff out, rebalance you completely. It's extremely, extremely dangerous. I'll say it again, without proper supervision and preparation. Okay. You definitely want to dip your toes on this one. All right. This is tantamount to basically, I've said before, like at the very moment of death, when you have a revolver pointed at your face by a robber, and you have the will to live so bad that when he pulls the trigger, the gun jams or the bullet doesn't come out or something happens, right? This is the same thing. You have to have that strength of will to not cross over because you're getting so close to crossing out of the body. A safer way to experience these types of resets is with DMT. And I say safer, but it's highly illegal. So that's do that of your own safety risk. But the dry fasting is a very, very, very useful tool that you can use. I've done it once and not by choice. I did it in jail. But it's a tool that you can use to reset yourself spiritually. And like you're saying, Corey, bring all of those things on a heavy physical level out of your life and shed them instantly so that you can just move forward on a higher scale. So have you done any research about that, or what are your thoughts on dry fasting as you know it?
Well, I've heard of it. I get the basic understanding of it. I've never done it before, and I haven't really. Probably the furthest I've gone is water fasting, and for relatively short periods of time, you know. I know people on water fast for like 30, 40 days.
Yes.
But and typically, you know, that's after juice fasting for quite some time.
Well, I'm glad you brought this up. Juice fasting. Sugary juices like fruit juices should be avoided.
Right.
When you're trying to go to a water fast, because it throws off your insulin. You should be producing other things. So by water fasting, juice is not as good for you in the long term as you think it is if you're going to be trying to shift upwards in the diet scale. As far as cleansing and short-term detoxes, absolutely, I swear by it. But long term, not very good for your insulin production.
Yeah, and I would say that, you know, it depends also. Stay away from the sugars and the starches, you know. Go with the green stuff mostly, you know. Leafy green stuff. And also too, you know, I'm reviewing in my mind the scale and some of my own experiences. This is a real process, man. You know, this is not, you know, you're not going to go, I mean, you could if you have the will for it and the information, but I would advise most people to have a real understanding that it's a process. Your body and your mind is going to go through all kinds of changes, you know, a lot of detox reactions. A lot of times, you know, in various forms of fasting, you get flu-like symptoms. Stuff's coming out of your body, and you don't have any idea how it could, because you're 2 weeks in, and you don't think you have anything left, and all of a sudden, you know, internally in your organs and in your cells and in your, you know, in your viscera, your body's putting out stuff that's just been there for a long time. And
heavy metals, chromium 6, fluoride from tap water. Who knows what the fuck? Morgellons and all sorts of shit from chemtrails. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, all of that. And I would advise people to enter into any kind of dietary changes, knowing that it's a process. You're not going to go 0 to 60. And if you do, you're just going to bail, and then you're going to go back to where you were, and then you're going to have, you know, quite possibly the sort of mental self-flagellation for failing and all of that kind of shit. So take your time, do your research, and know that it's a process, and that, you know, there's going to be all kinds of stuff on the way that you might not have expected.
Yeah, you definitely need balance throughout the whole thing. No wide, heavy swings from one end of the scale to the other if you can help it. Obviously, there's exceptions and everybody makes mistakes with their previously stated intent, but it is what it is. So,
sure.
How are you eating energy It's important, folks. It's why we're dedicating a show to it. How do you eat it?
Sure.
How do you choose? Where are you intending to go?
Sure. Right. Now, I'd like to add, I've done some martial arts work, Tai Chi and Qigong and Neigong energy work, which deals with Qi or Qi or Prana, if you will, which is sort of like this living, I don't know, maybe some say it's a proton, but perhaps it's...
No, it's like, do you know why they can't find it, Corey? It's because it's tachyons, bro. It's tachyons.
Right.
Your bodily nerve centers, your nerve centers are like antennas for tachyons, just like your cells are for water. But
right.
They are gathering and storing it, and it convert the body converts it into fire chi and water chi and air chi and all these different elemental power centers, if you will. And if any one of those are off balance while you're doing work, so you, as you well know, if you've been practicing the arts, you have to stimulate and balance all of them.
Right, right. And where and there is a saying that I was taught, where the mind goes, the energy flows.
That's right.
So there are people in this world who, you know, even maybe that's even a step beyond the breatharianism, because then you're not even really dealing with, like, crude matter anymore. You're not even dealing with minerals and
what,
moisture in the air. You're dealing
it's just energy. You're feeding on energy directly from the universe.
Exact.
Universe
so,
juice, like Kung Fu Panda.
Exact. Funny because, you know, we're having this conversation, and recently I've noticed, and maybe it's just my surfing or whatever, but I've been coming across these videos of, like, monks who are basically in some form of mummification.
I came across that too. Not only I was going to mention that
they're still living, so their bodies are just, you know.
A guy came back after 80 years recently,
yeah.
And there's also a boy, Nepali Buddha boy. You can look that up on YouTube. We just watched the documentary, my wife and I.
No food, no water.
The dude has been sitting there for 10-plus months, motionless. He's been sitting against the tree, motionless, mm-hmm. with no food or water for 10-plus mm-hmm. months. And his stated goal was to go for 6 years. So... it's completely possible. There's some crazy shit going on right now. It's just crazy, man.
No doubt. Yeah, and it's like, you know, yeah, I mean, just think about that, the conversation, right? The range of our conversation. We've gone from presidential politics to sitting under a tree and doing nothing but sitting for 10 months.
And now we're going, I got to bring this up, now we're going into multidimensionality, spiritual and astral planes. If you, listeners, if you have, I rarely advocate movies unless they're actual positive disclosure. So things like Guardians of the Galaxy, things like Tomorrowland, things like the one that I'm bringing up right now, Doctor Strange. You must go out with your loved ones and go see Doctor Strange. Immediately, dude, it gets into Gnostic stuff, like the entity called Dormammu or whatever that exists in a world outside of, or in a dimension outside of time, and his goal is to collect all the infinite dimensions and bring them into his world outside of the constraints of time. And that's similar to an energetic plasma entity called Yaldabaoth that exists in our region of space, which is like a main hive mind colony thing that the Archons have used basically as a giant energetic machine. And the Gnostic texts, you guys have to really look at all this energetic stuff that's happening. So, Dr. Strange, you want to talk about positive disclosure of spiritual technology and astral planes and everything? You gotta fucking go see that. Go see that shit. It is ridiculous. So I will leave you guys with that. Corey, do you have anything else you want to say to wrap up the show here before we sign off?
It's all in the mind, man. It's all in the mind. Do whatever you can to become intimately acquainted with one's own mind and one's own spirit. And how we consume energy, how we consume our energy, types of foods, types of activities, types of relationships, that all of that stuff factors in. But, back to the election thing, it was really just a reminder to me of this alternate reality that we're living in that is so compelling. It's so compelling. It is so real and so compelling. And so, people are bent even before the actual election results, man. People are like stressed the fuck out and, just going crazy over this stuff. And it's all external stuff. Yes.
It's all a false narrative that's been propagated by these media sycophants. And I'll tell you this. He won Michigan and a bunch of other states that she actually fucking... There's a few states that she cheated and actually got with the election ballot switching over in the electronic voting booths. They would actually switch over to Hillary Clinton when you try to press Donald Trump. That made it to local news. But she cheated and tried to steal the election and still lost. And a few states were undeclared even after their electoral results were declared. But those states went red for Trump. Right? Most of them. I would say all of them, but most of them in our reality. So we really are, living in an alternate dimension. We jumped from a timeline of imminent World War III with Russia to peace, prosperity, restoration. There's no fucking evidence that he's misogynist. There's no evidence. Dude, there's no isms. There's no fucking sexism. There's no goddamn racism. There's none of that shit. There's just fucking choices. A personal responsibility and morality. Is this the right thing to be saying or doing towards something or some other sentient being? To give energy towards the difference of between a man or a woman or a gay or a straight man, so you're perpetuating a cause that will, that's not a word. You're perpetuating some sort of thing that's going to always be at division with itself. It will always fucking, there will always be a reason for people to strife. One side's going to be fighting for it to change. The other side's going to be fighting to not change it. There's just bullshit. If you just accept that everything is an energetic choice, you can choose to be good to somebody or bad to somebody, right? Or something, or some animal. There's no isms. It's fucking bullshit. So when people, like, racism won, misogyny won, hate won, there's all these fucking stupid motherfucking idiot liberalism tweets that are going out. Oh my God, it's the new 9/11. All that is complete bullshit. It is just somebody's salty, butthurt vendetta that's just coming out in an illogical manner. So I'll tell you this. There is no racism, okay? There are no isms at all. There's just interactions of energies between sentient beings, and it's either nice or what you would deem moral or right or normal. Or it's wrong, which is hateful, or fearful, or vengeful.
Yeah,
it's just
you did it.
Make a fucking choice, people, and stop getting caught up in this divisive two-headed duality. All right?
Yeah, you hit on it. The one thing that you said was fearful. Fear.
That's right.
Fear. Ultimately, the fear is fear of death on some kind of level, right?
Loss of identity.
Ultimately, fear of social ostracization and all of this shit, ultimately it comes down to fear of death. So there's nothing to fear.
So what you're describing is the root.
Yeah.
And so the racisms and the isms are branches of a tree, and people are still trying to hack these branches of these tree and social justice reform and all this bullshit. Go to the root of the issue. Every single fucking person is responsible for their choices, their energy, and their own emotions. You little SJW liberals running around protesting because you're paid by fucking billionaire George Soros, fuck you, okay? Fuck you. Go home, take some fucking time and look at yourself. I am not goddamn responsible for your emotions. If I want to say whatever the fuck I want to say, I'm going to fucking say it. And you can just deal with it. That is the world we live in. And if I want to be conscious about what I'm saying so I don't butt hurt you all the time, then fine. But if it needs to be said, I'm going to say it. And so I did.
Right. And for those people who just like being an asshole and hurting people's feelings and emphasizing differences and caught up in their own superiority, inferiority complex because of their own fears, fuck you too.
That's right, man. Good job, brother. And it's a fuck you of love, okay? Things can be said with an intent of love to change and wake people up.
Exactly, you know? I've had people fucking smack me up out of love, man. You know? And that's not happening, you know? I mean, you can't have a fucking debate. You can't have a conversation anymore. There was a time where it was like a given normal human behavior that you could civilly address someone who holds, you know, antithetical views to you.
Opposite of yours, yeah. Agreeing to disagree is a lost art form, Corey, I guarantee you.
And it's like, okay, you can hold your opinion, and I'm not going to try to convince you that you're wrong and to convince you that I'm right. Let's just have a conversation about it. This is where I'm coming from. I see where you're coming from, and I respectfully disagree. You know, everyone's taking it so personal. They take it personally because there's this underlying fear.
And shame, by the way. Shame of their ignorance. They realize their ignorance, that they're ignorant of the issue, and their fear kicks in. Fear of self-preservation and identity.
Right. So, and it's very hard to inform people. I mean, that's an art in and of itself. It's very hard to inform people. If you want to inform someone, take the middle path. You know, take the middle path. Don't immediately set yourself up as, you know, on the opposite polarity to some other person with different views than you have. Take a middle path. Ask questions and honor that individual for holding their position, whether they're ignorant or not. You know, there's reasons that people hold particular opinions. Some people are informed and stand by their opinions, and some are just knee-jerk because going off of what somebody else said,
That's right. We'll just end it here. You always got to find balance, and what you're talking about, Corey, is a unity of opposites. So that's where we can all look for truth and a wealth of information, is trying to unify the opposites or the divisiveness. So I want to thank you guys. Go ahead. It is. That's true. A universe of polarities can also be unified. So,
yeah.
I want to thank you, Corey. Excellent contributions this episode. We've done a really good job on branching out into a lot of important topics. Next week, we may have a special guest, or we might just do a call-in show that seems to be pretty popular with our Facebook friends, or the ones I have left after my Trump tirade. Sorry, guys. Hey, you know what? If I weed out the weak people that can't stand up and go, hey, you know, I disagree with you, but I'm still your friend, so be it. I am going to call out stupidity and ignorance where it lies, though. I won't abide that, because it's directly responsible for the situation we were almost placed in, this election. And basically, the past however long we've been, you know, America's been lying in ignorance for over 100 years. So we love you guys. We appreciate you listening. Hopefully you learned a lot this episode. And next week, join us again. And we'll see you then.
Having trouble with harassing collection agencies? Creditors breathing down your neck? Feeling like you're drowning in debt? The Guild of Tactical Wordsmiths is here to help you now. GTAC is an ecclesiastical guild association of aggressive debt assassins who can eliminate your debts, free negative marks from your credit report, and get you compensated for unfair collection practices or emotional damages. They have a proven track record of success and sustainable results, which will have creditors and debt collectors shaking in their boots. This is not your typical credit repair or verification. GTAC uses proven techniques and negotiation tactics to completely eliminate your debt or conflict, remove negative marks from your credit reports, and in most cases, GTAC will retrieve compensation for you. Call for your free 15-minute consultation today at 214-290-3053. Meet Corey, a talented musician, philosophical artist, designer builder, and co-host of Piercing the Veil, a booming radio show which focuses on spreading rare or esoteric knowledge. When he's not doing art, making music, designing, or hosting on the air, Corey is an experienced life coach who specializes in wealth management, preservation, and acquisitions. For a free 15-minute consultation, call 520-230-2332. Or email cr_s@unseen.is with questions or concerns. Expand your possibilities and thrive today.